This episode is dedicated to the Trinity set of 2011. Big up you guys wherever you guys are, in loving memory of Koyejo, a friend of ours who passed away recently.
Hi everyone. Welcome to another episode of Road to 30, the podcast, episode 71. Thank you guys for your support last week. That was amazing. We got a lot of listens on that episode. We are thankful to Ife, who came and, you know, just gave us a lot of information. That was amazing. Isaac is here, by the way. Homeboy is just staring.
I've had a rough week.
He does the look.
I've had a rough week.
The Lookman.
Very rough week.
You had a rough week.
Yeah, they look like Lookman. Just daily.
Just the look.
Hi, guys. Hopefully, you guys have signed up to Rise and you are making money. So, that would be good. We gave you a
referral code
in there. I've gotten my own referral code now. So, if you want to give me money, you know.
Me too. I have my own referral code now.
Just DM me and, you know, we'll go from there.
I have my referral code now.
Yeah, it's been a good week actually. Rise paid us some interest in dollars, obviously.
Oh shit.
Yeah, so those of us on the real estate investment plan, we got some of our returns this week, so that was good. Nice. Yeah, there's nothing better than being at home and seeing an alert, you know, like, hey, money has come.
Hey, money.
Fantastic stuff, right?
I'm telling you, you just want to throw a party. As soon as money enters your accounts, you're like, whoa!
I never want to throw a party, actually.
Sorry. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, you party people, animals.
I don't even consider myself a party animal.
Really? Why?
I don't really party like that.
Same.
Like, same. I'm not, you know,
I hate
I'm
clubbing.
Very... in the house watching Netflix,
yeah,
type of person.
I mean, Netflix is good. Recently I started watching Amazon Prime, The Boys season 2. Very good show.
Amazon Prime, does it even have a lot of like stuff?
No, I just go there for specific shows. It's quite interesting. Actually, you should watch it, The Boys.
Listen, I saw the trailer of I saw a teaser for The Crown season 4.
Well, I don't
watch
it.
Hey, you guys.
That's the one you and what's her name were talking
Halima
about.
It's about to be amazing. I mean, Diana is going to be on this season.
Okay.
I mean, the teaser gave me chills. We're going to have Thatcher. Hey, God. This is amazing.
Hashtag excited.
It's so exciting. I mean, like, this is like a different turnaround in like British history. I mean, this was when we had the first female prime minister. And you guys know how Thatcher was like. They called her the Iron Lady. You understand? And then at the same time, we're having Diana.
Her name was Margaret. How do you take someone serious when their name is Margaret?
Really? I take people seriously when I hear their name is Margaret.
Margaret.
Yes. But you know, some people, they turn the nickname into something. It's Maggie. I think it's because of Thatcher. Like, I think
no,
the people that I've known
seriously.
That were named Margaret are very strong women, actually. Like, that are in positions, some real, like, some real powerful positions. So I think that's why for me it has always communicated to me as a
once
powerful
I hear,
lady's
once
name.
I hear Margaret or Moses, I don't take them seriously.
Why don't you take Moses seriously?
I don't know. It's just a very
not for you. I mean, what? It's your name that means laughter.
Wow, that makes sense actually. Nice one. Yeah, anyway. But Isaac is still a sick name, you know. I hear Margaret.
Now, for
anyway,
you.
Please, anyway, if your name
the Crown
is Margaret,
it's going to be amazing. If you're not watching The Crown yet, better watch it. Like, especially if you're into like British, like, you know.
Please, if your name is Margaret, I said that in good faith. Please, let's not get ahead of ourselves emotionally.
Are you afraid?
Yes, I am. this is a very delicate internet age that we are in.
For you.
So, yeah. This week, I did a sick parallel park, guys. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. So, the Agberos in the area were like, oh, God, that space starts. You sure say go fear enter.
And
I was like, yeah, no problem. So, you know, I drove up and I was like, this is for all my driving instructors in the UK, you guys would be very proud.
Mm-hmm.
Then United, my full on parallel park, and I squeezed into the space. And I was very proud. They were like, eh, chief. It just made me realize the Nigerians, yeah, we need to actually settle down and learn how to drive.
You know, we don't go to driving school in Nigeria.
Yeah, we just
my start driving school, even in Nigeria, so they didn't take me on express. Can you imagine?
I don't understand. So, what were you learning?
Well, the guy was just teaching me on the streets.
No, wow.
Well. I learned how to drive. I did some lessons in England.
Oh, right.
Actually, I did maybe about 10. And we went on Expresso.
Of course, no.
Meanwhile, this one, he was a nice guy, you understand? To be honest, I'm actually quite glad that we didn't go on the Express because me, I wanted to learn how to drive automatic.
Oh, right.
And it was manual car they were using to teach me. And that kind, like, I just cannot hack it. Like, the thing would just stop.
I know.
I'm just like,
I think anybody.
So I couldn't imagine going on the express with that car. Right.
Anybody that wants to learn should learn with a manual.
No, you don't have to. Trust me. I mean, they always say, you never know when you might need it. And yes, probably you never know when you might need it. But like, really and truly, you don't put yourself through that.
Please
just learn automatically.
No, put yourself through it, please. That's the best.
I tell you, if you want to just learn for learning's sake. But to be honest with you, I can't tell you that I still know how to drive that car. And I did a lot of lessons in that car.
That's very unfortunate.
Your car is just difficult.
Your name should be Margaret.
Margaret is a nice thing.
Fine.
Why is it even making me too?
Fine. I'm just kidding.
Margaret is a nice name.
Okay, so in the news this weekend, Nigeria is actually falling apart, but building together or being built back together. First of all, guys, go and buy rice and put it in your house. So rice has gone up to 28,000 naira per bag. That is quite mad. Considering that this year also, we lost 25% of our output in rice to flood, which means there's going to be a serious shortage of something that is already short in supply. So you guys should, buy your rice. Put it in your house now.
Prepare your Christmas rice now.
By November, even by late October, I can't imagine what rice will start to sell for. Because that's why wicked in this country. Some people go and buy it and put it in their store. Say there's no rice. Now open up in like November and be
it's rice.
Like 40K and, what else do we eat during Christmas?
You know something, you see, all of what Isaac is saying, it has made me realize that we are our problem in Nigeria.
It's not Nigerians.
We keep on saying that, our government, and don't get me wrong, yes, our government could do better. But like, I mean, why would they? Why would they want to do better if they feel like we don't care? We are not going to do anything about it.
Mm.
We'll just sit down there and take it. You understand? Like, and that's what we do. Whenever something happens, all we do is we'll complain.
And then we watch Big Brother.
We'll complain. Uh-huh, and then we're okay. You understand? Or we'll just say, God will help us, so may God save us, so God no go shame us. Saying all those ones. Meanwhile, all of these things are happening.
Yeah, getting away with it.
We hold the power, you guys. You need to try and do something. And I say this, when I say it to myself. I say it about myself too, because I've gotten to a point where there's like, why am I complaining if I'm not even like doing anything in my community or whatever? The apathy is real. Mm. It has like seeped into all of us.
Mm.
But like, you're not making me deliver this thing.
Okay, sorry. Deliver your speech.
Thank you.
Rile up the youth. Get them to vote.
I'm just saying that, I'm not saying that you need to go out and fight. I'm just saying that, like, you need to look in your own community and figure out where you can be of help and where you can be of service.
Mm.
And if there's something that you are passionate about, you are one person. You know, we all need each other. That's just the truth.
True that.
One person is not going to transform Nigeria and change it into something else. When we think about all the freedom fighters that we've heard of in history, Mandela, Martin Luther King, all these other people, like, they all had people that were working with them.
And very recently, Dolly Akito, but please continue. Don't worry, I'm working with you. I'll be part of your Black Panther.
That's your business. We all had people that were working behind them and everything. And, they didn't all just do it all by themselves. So we all need each other. We all need to take a stand and take different areas in the community that we feel like we can be of help to other people, whether it is through education or whether it is through, other kind of causes. Just I don't know what kind of cause. If it's maybe there is one road in your area that is bad and you feel like, you know what, we need to do something about this. It is up to you to like try. You can try that. You know, different things. Just figure out what you can do in your community to help make Nigeria better. But you can't keep on complaining and sitting down and crossing your legs and all you're just doing is shouting.
Government.
You know, or feel like our government is just way too powerful. They are powerful, yes. Nobody's saying that they aren't. But like, it's just, they have gotten to this point of power because we have taken their nonsense for far too long that now, like, we are here. People are being killed in Kaduna. People are being killed everywhere. We are rehabilitating Boko Haram.
This,
do you understand? Like, this is on us.
This wasn't the direction I thought this
episode But I'm just saying that this is on us. Right. And until we all take responsibility for the fact that we have let this happen, we will not move forward. Keep on blaming the government now. Keep on blaming everything now. Be crossing your legs there. This country is not going anywhere. Everybody is just even zooming to Canada anyway. So, like, soon, the country is just going to
those
waste.
Guys will soon close their borders. Nigerians know how to bastardize every opportunity. They will soon close their borders.
Nigerians are everywhere.
Yeah, no, you see Nigerians blatantly tweeting at the Canadian embassy that they are coming. As in,
I said they will soon get tired.
I don't understand it.
They will soon get tired of us. But let's try and make this place better. I won't lie,
please. If you don't want to make this place better, go. Let's not die on the line of making Nigeria better, please.
I'm just saying that they don't complain. That's all I'm saying. Don't complain about the price of rice. Don't complain about the price of anything. Don't complain. Complain is not going to do anything. If you like, have you seen complain make this country move forward? Complain will just be talking. SARS will still stop you.
Are you a card carrying member of the PDP or something?
No, I'm not. But like, all I'm just saying is that we need to ignore them. We need to put them aside. They're not helping us and they will not help us. I mean, why would they? They are stuffing themselves full with all our tax money. For those that are paying tax,
part of the problem.
All our tax money, all our everything, they are making themselves happy. And we're the ones giving it to them because we're not saying anything. If someone comes to come and steal money from your house and you keep on allowing them to steal money from your house and you're not saying anything, oh, you're doing, you know, you're stealing money, you're stealing money.
Eventually,
and the person is just, would they stop? No.
You know what?
Why would they stop? Why would they stop free money?
Too politically conscious, please, guys.
I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to get to that point. Yes, I was just trying to say, like Isaac mentioned that other time that I've carried on the mantle. Pick a cause, choose something in your community, dedicate yourself to it, dedicate your mind to it, and just try and help your country move forward.
Yes.
That's all.
Speaking of countries moving forward, they have removed fuel subsidy. And I noticed that a lot of Nigerians were very sad, understandably. But you guys should please understand. This is one of the few things I actually agree with the government on. Nigeria was spending almost $400 billion a month on subsidy. That was going to just a few people. Now they have removed it. Even if they steal $300 billion out of that, there's still $100 billion left that they can allocate towards other things.
Are they going to allocate it towards
other
things? They
will. That's why I just said even if they steal $300, they will still allocate $100 towards other things. We now have a little bit more money to spend on other things. So please. Let's suffer in the short run. Besides, Dangote is opening his refinery very soon for
price
to drop.
We're still suffering.
We'll suffer in the short term.
There's no short term suffer. See, they suffer everywhere.
I can't imagine.
Nothing is going to get better until we do something. I'm telling you, people, suffer will not stop.
It's not about doing anything.
Suffer will not stop.
Jesus Christ. I can't imagine what politicians go through when they're campaigning. Like, I cannot. But please. See, the message is just, let's understand, like, there is a bigger picture. There's something better if we just take a hit in the short run. So that's my take on the fuel subsidy thing. Listen, this is where capitalism comes in. There are like 4 Nigerians building refineries. Do you know? Yes, and so by the time everybody starts
producing,
but
this is not capitalism. That's not what you just said.
This is where it helps now. Because there are 4 people that are building
refineries.
Well,
I mean, if they're the ones that are regulating it and everything.
That's not the point. The point is when they start functioning, the fuel price will drop and we'll have efficient
but
processes.
But will it really drop?
It will. It 100% will. There's no way Dangote will want to sell fuel and then Rabiu would want to sell fuel and the one person will be losing out. They will make it as, you know, price efficient as possible so that
really,
they can get market share.
If it will really help, but like, you know.
No, seriously, you guys should go and look into it. There are 4 people building refineries. There is
as long as it makes a difference.
There is let me not even mention their names, but they are for sure. Dangote, Rabiu, and two other people. What else did I actually see this week? Yes, I was watching TED Talks, which leads to my AP for this week. So I was watching this TED Talk by Guy Winch. I would recommend that you guys watch it. It's Emotional First Aid. That was the name of the TED Talk, the title. And he was talking about how people don't spend enough time on mental injuries and on their mental health. And Dolly has been fighting me, but we cannot overemphasize the value and importance of mental health on this show. We really cannot. So please take your mental health seriously. So the summary of the TED Talk, he was basically talking about how in a physical injury, say you get a cut, you wouldn't get a knife and start cutting deeper to be sure that you actually have a cut, or just to see how deep you can cut yourself. But when it comes to mental and emotional injuries, we tend to do that. We get one small setback and then we sit down and wallow in self-pity, and we look at all the things that are so wrong with our lives, and we look at all the bad things and we build it into something that it isn't, and we end up depressed. So please, please, please take time out. Give yourself emotional first aid. Please take action when you're lonely. Change your response to failure. Protect your self-esteem. Most importantly, battle negative thinking. Battling negative thinking would help you build emotional resilience. That was one thing he said on the TED Talk that really got to me. So that's very important. Take your mental health seriously.
And I will add, as you're taking your mental health seriously, extend that same sentiment to other people.
Yes.
Because that's something that we don't do. The truth is that we don't have enough resources to really like educate us on mental health. But the more you hear and you put it to other people around you, the more day to day learn. So when you extend that same courtesy to them, when you extend that same understanding that someone might be having a mental health issue, someone might be having a mental health thing, you know, you need to give that kind of support. DMX came out recently and said that he has a multiple personality
disorder. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, and he didn't even want to talk about it. Like he didn't want to keep on going on about it because he just doesn't like to. He just said he has a few people living inside of him.
Oh, wow.
And his wife, his ex-wife, who I think they are still on good terms,
yeah,
said, give an explanation on the kind of the people that are in him. Yeah. One that is angry, one that is. And, you know, I haven't like done enough research into that, but I've watched like, maybe a couple of shows that maybe talk dealt with someone who had it. And it is so. It's a lot.
It's a lot, yes, I know.
It's a lot because it genuinely feels like different people,
mm-hmm,
because they completely take over like your willpower, your control, everything. So all I'm just saying is that people are dealing with things and people are suffering things, and you know, just make people, other people, feel like you're always ready to listen, and it might help people also get better. And
yes,
of course, take your own health
seriously. Most importantly, you know, people battle negative thinking and build your emotional resilience. Yeah.
Yes.
Someone asked me this week, Dolly, are you worth your current salary? Let's quickly address this before we dive into.
I don't think any Nigerian graduate who is in a, you know,
job.
Company,
yeah,
a job, is getting what they are paying.
I mean, so I found out one of my friends,
if they are getting less than like 200K.
Okay, that's better. Anybody earning less than 200K as a graduate is not earning enough.
Nope.
That person deserves a raise.
Nobody earning under 200K is earning their worth. I'm sorry.
Especially no graduates.
Graduates. So, yes. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. It's graduates. I meant graduates.
Yes. So I think that answers his question. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you're earning less than 200K, which most of us are, unfortunately, you're not being paid fair.
Yep.
On speaking on that as well, please, I know I shout all the time. Someone has called me Crusader of Finance.
It's Crusader. Oh.
Trust me. It was a very nice title. Imagine them. Anyway, let's not.
You imagine them crowning you with the title. Yeah, I just saw the way your head went.
My mind wandered. Your eyes went up.
I said, eh.
Please, guys, save and invest. Even if it's just 10% of your monthly income, even if it's 5%, just save something, invest something, put something away towards tomorrow. We've started our financial literacy series. And we'll be having some guys from PiggyVest coming soon to talk to us. So that would also emphasize savings. But please, guys, save and invest. If you have any questions, you can DM us on either Twitter or Instagram and we will answer you to the best of our knowledge. If we can't, we'll put you in the right direction. But most importantly, one thing that a lot of us as Nigerian millennials don't have enough of is savings. We don't have enough purchasing power, I understand. But still, let's just try and save and invest towards tomorrow. Anything can happen anytime, man. Anytime. Yes, so savings and, you know, all that stuff aside.
Thank you, Crusader of Finance.
Fuck you. You
I thought you said you liked it.
I like it, but I don't like it when you say it. It's like when Nigerians have names, English names, and then people just bastardize it. Like they'll say your name is Moses. Someone will say, oh, Moses, those kind of things.
So you don't like it when I say it?
No, I don't like it. Okay. I don't like your happiness. Anyways.
Wow.
That actually leads me to today's topic. We want to talk about toxic family members, guys. Dolly has become a very toxic member of my family.
Very funny. I'm not toxic.
Are you sure?
I don't think so.
Nah, you're not. But we want to talk about toxic family members. How do you guys handle toxic family members? Let me paint the scenario. A friend of mine this week, she posted something on her WhatsApp story. Mm-hmm. Very nice video of her wearing an outfit and dancing and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then her mom's sister messaged her and was like, oh my God, please, can you put something better on and be decent? God loves you. And she was so irritated. So, like, she messaged me and she was like, bro, what is the meaning of this?
Almost, when and, you know you have family members like that, it doesn't give them the opportunity to say.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about. How do you handle it? Because for me, I don't post anything on my stories on WhatsApp. And I have two WhatsApps. There's one my family knows and the other one.
I block
so I don't have this problem.
Everybody.
Oh.
My mom is very active on Twitter. She has never tried to follow me, but I blocked her. In the event that she does. You understand? I have blocked her and I do not feel sorry about it. When I was younger, she bullied me into adding her as a friend on Facebook. You understand? She bullied me into it and it was very upsetting. You understand? But now that I am in my and I'm glad she doesn't even disturb me about that because I will not answer you. I have blocked her on it. My family members on WhatsApp, I have blocked all of them from seeing my stories. Right. All of them. In fact, anybody that can have a bit of an opinion, blocked. From seeing my story. My on Instagram, I follow my uncle's wife. Now, she's pretty young and, you know,
she's the cool one.
She's still blocked, though. I mean, she's still blocked from seeing my story. In the event that maybe from her, my uncle might see it.
So it's
not because of her. She cool. Is her husband.
So she got it blocked just in case.
My auntie, that one, she has been trying to, I don't know if she's listening to this. Sorry, Auntie T, if you happen to be listening to this. She will follow me, I remove her from my followers. Now that's going to a point, I think I just blocked her because I've been trying to be nice about it. You understand?
I just
silently remove.
I'm actually dying.
You understand? But, you know, no. The only family members I allow to see my stories are my siblings.
Oh, wow.
That's all.
Oh, wow.
Any other person, blocked. You know, cousins, blocked. Blocked.
This was meant to be a conversation. My next question was, how do you treat your wife? I mean, hey, if everybody's blocked, end of the episode,
so
guys.
I don't know. You see, WhatsApp and all these social media, this thing, they gave us those options for a reason.
Yeah, true.
You know, there are people that we don't want. You guys, if you know that you have some certain nosy ass family members, just do the needful. Don't even need to post anything before you now wait for them to upset you. Protect your mental health. That's what I do. So now when I was in a uni, I didn't even used to allow. I used to tell my siblings this thing that time, this thing that me, I was just, you know, talking. But now they understand. Familiarity breeds contempt.
It does.
When people are allowed to be too close to you, especially some family members.
I
know family members are very good at doing that because they know that they are your family members.
Yeah, so they always, in quote, want the best for you.
Two, they will feel like you can never really cut them off.
Yeah.
So, like, they feel like they can do whatever they want to do or say whatever they want to say. When I was in uni, what I used to do, I didn't even used to talk to anybody at all. I didn't even used to feel bad about it. Every now and again, maybe my cousin in the UK, I'll go and see her for a little bit, come back, leave it alone. Call every once in a while. I think she was probably the only external family member I was really, really calling. Like, I'm my uncle. They're the only ones I was really, really calling like that. Other than that, nobody was... In fact, there was a period in time when Momsi annoyed me.
3 days she was calling me. I did not pick up her phone call. I did not pick up the call from anybody because I didn't want anybody to even tell her that, oh, the laptop, no, all of you, no answer.
So absolutely nobody. Nothing. Could reach
the third day after she called me and I finally picked up her, she had calmed down. See, that's what we're trying to get here. And you know, that time I was in England, so you can't beat me.
True.
From far. Now it's different. I'm in Nigeria, so I have to play some politics. Of course, if not that slap. Time, you cannot beat me. Worst case, you get angry, but the anger cannot really jump there. I will still be at peace.
Yeah, true.
Maybe unless I see you.
Last, you hang up.
Last. So, like, then I used to do that. I used to not really talk to anybody. But now I've kind of grown. I kind of feel like I should talk to certain people. So, I do try to keep in touch. I can call when I can, message when I can, and you know, answer them. Sorry, that made a sound. Answer them whenever they come. My auntie came to the house, last week, and we just stayed for a bit. You know, yeah. I stay respectful. You understand, and I feel like, you know, every now and again, people we should check up on our family members.
Yeah.
But you don't allow them to get too close where they can don't start. Spill too much of your business. Don't show them too much.
Don't get accessible.
Don't get accessible like it's that. Like, you understand? You can be there without being you know, when, and when, still show love.
You know when everybody just feels they can just call you and you talk? It's like, no.
You know, show love.
Let's nip that in the bud quickly.
Yeah, just let's.
I mean, I'm your guy.
So
I'm
when you nip something in the bud real quick, people will adjust.
They will adjust, right?
You understand? So nobody now can come and start telling me about somebody that I'm seeing. So, how? You can't even see me, nigga. John Cena to the shit.
But you know, that's the problem with Nigerians. You give them what, an inch, they take it.
Don't give them nothing.
It's so annoying when, you know, I've not experienced it, but I've seen people experience it, and it's just too funny to me. Because, like I said, most of, like, even my dad, my mom, like, they don't actually know my real WhatsApp. There is one that I use for all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cool. But whenever I see people going through all that, you post a picture, and the next thing, you know, someone is commenting on. Like, that was why I actually ran away from Facebook.
Yeah.
Because my whole family found me. How? Because I added my mom. And then next thing now,
everybody
knows.
I've left Facebook to be family.
Yeah, I've left it.
I'm still on it because not like I'm on it. I don't like really, really post, but like I'm on it for work and other things. So like it's there. You understand? I don't really do much on it, but I've kept it to be family friendly. So
I always find it awkward when I go on Instagram and I see people's aunties and uncles commenting on their pictures.
I know they are brave.
They are now very. There are always all these awkward replies. You know, if your guy says, yo, yes, you'll be like, hey. But then you see one chine do something or one aunt or uncle. And the person is like, auntie, thank you so much. It's like, this isn't you. This is not you. You don't speak like
I have
that.
A cousin here my cousin in England. Because when I was in England that time, like, I stay in a house quite a bit. Mm. Like, her son is about to turn 9, and I can't believe it because I was there when he was a baby. Like, it is weird to me, but we're pretty like okay. We had a good relationship, and we still have a good relationship. But I'm not following her on Instagram now. Some of my siblings are following her, and she's following back. And sometimes I always wonder if I should follow.
No.
But like,
no.
Do you understand? Like, I mean, sometimes because I want to even see, she's private too, and I want to see, you know, what she's posting sometimes too. But no, see, cannot let it get too deep.
Yeah, I found
that's just where I'm coming from.
I found out that my uncles and aunties are on Instagram,
and
I just quietly blocked them.
Like, see, that's how you do it. Don't make too much
how
noise.
I found out was, I think it must have been someone that I went to primary school with, or something, that we ended up going to the same church. He must have posted something. Then I saw this name. I was like, I know that person. When they found out it was my aunt, I was like, blocked.
Guy.
Went through all the people she was following, found the rest of the family. Blocked I was like, them. You know what, this is it. Let's just do this now. Even my mom, I blocked her on Instagram. She was asking me the other day, like, aren't you on Instagram for your podcast? I was like, what? She was like, no, like, you know, I expect you. I was like, Don't worry about it.
Just
leave it. Also, because on my Instagram, there's a picture that looks like I'm smoking. And I don't need that energy. There was a time my mom was going, you know, on your birthday when people make those collages.
Yeah.
My mom must have seen me doing shisha on one of them. And she was like, what is this? I was like, not today, Satan. Let's nip this in the bud now.
I was saying that, like, my uncles, that I follow my uncles' iPhone IG. Yeah, him I don't follow.
Right.
I've removed him from my followers list.
Mm.
I removed him when he started following me. You know, I just let my uncle's wife there just because, you know, my uncle's wife.
I feel like I should prank you and just like get your family members to change their names and then follow you. That would be so mad. Think about it. Like, you just see nice hip sounding millennial name.
I mean, but yeah, that means you really feel that they're going to put that kind of energy in.
Yeah, it's too
they
much
they probably
effort.
Wouldn't.
Yeah.
They probably wouldn't. Effort. And I will probably eventually find out. It's and I'll block them.
Too much effort. So I think, I think we've answered the question on toxic family members. So if you are going through a situation whereby you've posted on your Instagram or on your WhatsApp and auntie from Canada or auntie from Ijebode is commenting, or your uncle feels the need to tell you your skirt is too short. Nigerian uncles have audacity. Or anybody feels the need to comment. Like, sorry, I just got sidetracked. My friend's aunt actually said, be decent and godly. And what was so mad was she was just in a dress dance.
Guy, there was a time one of my uncle's friends, one of my uncle's friends that I have known like since when I was maybe from like the first time, maybe, okay, not the first time, maybe like when I was younger and we used to travel to the UK. Yeah. Maybe when I was like maybe 10.
Yeah.
One day, and to be honest, it's my fault. You know, I feel like I'm pretty open usually, but I'm still very conscious about, you know, I don't want to overexpose myself, yeah, like, you know, physically. I was wearing a dress that was very cleavagey. Very.
Yeah.
Very. And I posted the video. And if I'm looking at it, I was like, oh, my, am I deleting this video like eventually because it's too much?
Yeah.
Oh, my, that's how this man came to come out. I don't know if he DM'd it to me or something. I was telling me something about me looking sexy, something.
As in your own uncle?
Not my uncle, my uncle's friend.
Oh, yes, friend.
That I knew since when I was like 10 or something.
He's pretty much your uncle. At that point, he's your
pretty
uncle.
First of all, that made me know that, yeah, I need to delete that picture. I deleted it. Then I didn't even respond. I just blocked him.
Those are the people that will tell you, you look so mature. I remember you of those days. Look at
I just blocked him. Married man. I just blocked him. Listen, I just said, I beg you.
We have a serious problem in this country, man. Mm-hmm. If you hear some of the things that some people say, it's just absolutely disgusting.
Blocked him real fast. I didn't even hesitate. And I don't think I've even had a conversation with him face to face since then.
Please, guys, the summary of this is that
the block button works,
regardless of who it is. There's a disconnect in our generation and our, in quotes, uncles and aunties. So before somebody starts telling you to be godly on WhatsApp or to change your skirt on Instagram, or that you're showing too much cleavage or you're too opinionated on Twitter, block them.
As in, block. Or they'll start asking you about your opinion.
Yeah. Or
it's my opinion.
My
or they'll start saying,
one,
why are you cursing?
My favorite one, before they start asking you when you will marry.
When will you marry?
Some of us are starting to get.
Will it be this year?
It won't.
Or next year?
It will not be next year.
Would you be single forever?
Yes. Jesus. Yes, I will be single forever. Mm-hmm. But yes, guys, please block everybody. Just block them. Just block them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just leave that one there. I wanted to ask you about honesty, right? Because obviously, these days, everybody's shouting about honesty and communication and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you can be, like, over-honest or, like, too honest or maybe too open? Or are there times where you just have to lie to the person? Like, are there scenarios where, you know what, in this scenario, I wouldn't say I have to be honest, I have to lie? Someone asked me that and it's kind of important.
I don't think there's anything as being over-honest. However, I do think that sometimes people might mistaken like being honest as just blurting something out when you don't necessarily need to. In being honest, you have to be also discerning. You understand what I'm saying? You have to understand the situation at hand.
Mm.
And you need to understand. Sorry, you guys. My throat is, you know, let me drink some water.
I wonder why. I wonder why, you know, just wondering why.
Is something wrong with you?
No.
See,
nothing is wrong with me.
As I was saying, like, one needs to be able to be discerning, to know when to say certain things or how to say certain things.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Because then that's where you can't just say, oh, whatever you're feeling about anything and everything, and even then, if you don't like somebody's skirt or somebody's outfit and you guys are out, it's not for you to now go and say, oh, your outfit is horrible. Yeah, I mean, that's honest, that's exactly how you feel. But like, it doesn't mean that you need to do that.
What if the person says, what do you think about my outfit?
Now, if the person says, what do you think about my outfit? There's a way you can tell them how you feel without necessarily saying it in such a way. You can just say, okay, it's okay. You know, understand when something is somebody else's style. Yeah. Do you understand? So, your style might not be my style. Yeah. You understand? Like,
but so, you know that a lot of times people don't take those kind of things well.
See, if it's your friend or people that are close to you, right? When they ask certain questions, you should know them well enough to know exactly how you should approach it. If there are people that like maybe are not always good with honesty, you can ask them and be like, do you really want me to tell you like my and then you now have to even find a way to say it. You don't have to say it in a mean way. Now, don't get me wrong, sometimes it's needed. Important. Sometimes tough love is needed.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying? But I'm just saying that, like, usually just gauge the situation. I personally don't think that there's anything that's being over honest. I always feel like when someone is honest, you know what you get with the person.
Well, there's
so there's something amazing about that. You know, at least it's not like blunt. Sorry?
That's why some people say they are blunt.
Yes, exactly. So, some people, there are some people that I know, like, I have, like, a friend who I know that he's, like, you know, he's always saying whatever is on his mind. Now, sometimes it can be rude. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, like, I always know what I get with him.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? I know that, you know, he's not, it took us a while. Don't get me wrong. It's not like it was something that, like, I was able to accept. You understand?
Yeah.
So easily. And he also could learn to be much more, you know, with the way he says certain things. But it took us a while, growing pains. You understand what I'm saying? Like, for me, I'm serious. Like, for me to get used to certain things. Because sometimes he'll say some things and I'm just like,
it's like, bro, you know, why so? You, like,
you understand? But it took me a while. But at least I know that I always know what I get with him. I always know that if this is how he feels about something, it is how he feels about something. He's not lying about it.
Yeah.
So I feel like that is someone living their life fully. When you are just able to be, to be honest and be real.
Fair enough. That's a topic we'll talk on later, actually, down the line. I want to know what it means to be mature and what it means to live your life fully.
But you know, I think bad honesty though. Now, bad honesty can be a situation where, which I don't even think that people normally do.
Okay.
But let's say, like, you know, someone came to come and hide in your house.
Yes.
And people are looking to kill him. And they come to your door and say, is he at the door? You're not going to open your mouth and say, oh, yes, come in. Like,
yeah, true.
Do you understand? Like, I mean, obviously, and I don't even feel like people do that, except if they are really like, I mean, come on. Even if it's a priest is not going to tell you to come into the house and come and kill this person I'm hiding. Do you understand? Even a priest will not do that. Do you feel me? That's the real truth.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, there are certain things where you know that. And I'm not saying that you need to, like, because some people put people in certain situations sometimes. Like, there are some parents, now maybe their children see them cheating. And then they put them in this position whereby, you know, don't tell your mom the truth. If not, it will ruin the relationship or something like that. Now, those kind of things, like, you're putting somebody in a terrible position, especially a child. You understand what I'm saying? A child, you're making them keep that secret.
Those things are damaging.
Yeah, those things are damaging. You're making them keep that secret, you know, because you are afraid of whatever. So I feel like those kind of things, like, you know, but generally speaking, like, you just need to know how to discern. But I don't think that there's anything wrong with honesty.
Okay, fair enough. I would actually just say that delivery is key most times.
Definitely.
And I actually believe in some cases you just have to lie, because sometimes some people may not be ready for information. So you might just avoid it, or
you don't have to say anything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You could just avoid it, or you could be extra careful with the delivery.
I think that we should all make an effort though and try and be as more honest.
Yeah, we should. But sometimes
I've realized that, like, I've had to be to be honest with, like, people lately, and I found that it helps. There was one guy that came to come and meet me one time to ask me for my number. Now, usually I'll give my number and then block you later. But, like,
you just told
him. I just did not have the energy to lie that day.
Right.
I just said, when the girl asked me for my number, I'm like, no. And he was like, oh, come on, you know. And this is the extra talk that we usually avoid. Yeah, that's why we just give them the number. That's
usually the space where acid gets involved.
Now, you know, you're not lean.
Yes.
You lean a little bit. You understand? Like, this one was leaning on my car now. You know, asking me. And I said, if I'm being honest with you, I am not going to pick up your call. That's just the truth.
Well, you told him straight up.
Yeah, yeah. I said, I can take your number. I'll give you my number, but I will not pick up. I will not answer
you. That's very honest of you.
I had to, I just really did not have the energy in me that day to lie.
Mm.
So I just said, I just said, honestly, like, I'm being serious. And to me, I avoided having that phone call and me having to start.
Did he take it well?
He was like, you know, not like, he didn't start like insulting me or anything like that. So, but I mean, he was just like, okay.
Is it not mad in society how we still care about how the, like, did he take it or those kind of things? Women have it. You guys have, you're suffering, man. It's just mad because even in a situation where you clearly don't care, people still expect you to deliver the message in such a way that,
feelings and ego.
It's so sad.
I know, right?
It's too much. On a random note, I was reading, there was a publication this week from, can't remember who, but they're affiliated with Steers. Did you know that last year we got $700 million in venture capitalist funding, right, to startups and all that, but this year is only $74 million. So basically, if you have a startup, money isn't coming this year. Like, so far, money hasn't come. Sorry, that just came to my mind. I just thought I should say, because I'm sure we have a lot of listeners who have startups and all that stuff. So start exploring other means of funding, because really, VC fund has gone down significantly. Yeah. Where were we? Sorry. Delivery notes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a final question here that was asked again. I don't know why they expected me to know, but they said I should ask, what do women expect from relationships, especially as they get older towards 30?
A guy asked that.
Yeah, a guy asked that. I think he probably has problems with women.
Do you know something I was thinking about this week was, I was thinking to myself that what if from the very beginning, men were made to feel like they should aspire towards marriage. Women were made to feel like they can live that, like, you know, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm just wondering, like, and it makes me wonder if that would have changed a lot of things in regards to the way
it would change the entire social dynamics.
So, like, will it now be now, you know, now that we're in our 20s where we see most of our female friends getting married?
Yeah.
Instead of that, we'll be seeing a lot of our male friends getting married.
We'll now have pressure.
Right, you'll not be having guys talking about it more. Yeah. Like, I need to settle down. I need to... I was thinking about that today and I was wondering if I think social conditioning in a lot of ways have made women have to be more forward thinking. Regarding like certain things.
Yeah.
I'm more sacrificial, I think, about certain things. So I've always wondered, like, you know, I feel like women are very intuitive. I feel like that's just something that we're blessed with anyway. And I think that either way would have had it. But I feel like, you know, just the fact that we've been put in this position where we always needed to be thinking about all these things, where people are mostly, the question you're hearing everywhere is, oh, when will you get married? When will you get married? When will you get married? You know, when you're in your 20s, if the reverse was the case, maybe women will not care as much. You understand? They'll be caring more about their careers. They want to make money. So it'll be different. You will be talking about marriage. I'll be talking about men. I need to make this bread.
Yeah, but I think it would, the fundamentals of society would change that way.
Probably. Because
then men would then be the ones who would be objectified more. Because we would be the ones who, like, were the ones who are struggling with each other to get the other person's attention.
Yeah.
So you now see more adverts of maybe naked men, or
I guess
men would get, like, their bodies would be so important and, like, all those kind of things.
But I guess from the beginning of time, it couldn't have been that way anyway. Or, I mean, it could have, but I mean, I guess because of certain biological things, like,
you know what I think it might be,
stuff
though,
like that.
At the risk of sounding ignorant, you know what I think it might be? I think if women were more, if they had, like, a bit more strength during the pregnancy and the post-pregnancy period, I think that's what would happen. Because a huge...
What do you mean, more strength?
Okay, basically, you know, usually during pregnancy, right? Like, for your own safety, it's best if you don't do too much.
Yes.
Like, you need to take a step back and focus on the child and all that. But most women don't, which is still amazing, because you still see pregnant women working. And yeah, which isn't ideal. I know they choose to, but it's not ideal.
I mean, you can't do it.
Yeah, I know, but...
You can't do it, but, like, I mean, some people overwork themselves. But definitely, of course, when you get pregnant, your workload does reduce. But women still work up until they give birth. Yeah. And they work okay, they feel okay.
Yeah, but my point is that if you guys were, like, a lot stronger, like, there was no difference when you were pregnant and when you weren't, I think it's a change.
Unfortunately, that could never happen.
It's because naturally... You know, when something births something, you have to
take care of it. I don't even think that that's it. Honestly.
I think it has a factor,
yes, but like, I don't think that that's it, because I feel like a lot of times, so there are sometimes when, you know, some guys are lazy and don't work, you understand? Like, I feel like it's just a thing. I really do think that it's just a thing of pride and control. Just because I feel like there are a lot of women who get pregnant, work through their pregnancy, and even if they don't work through their pregnancy, they are able to come back okay. It's just a period in time where they just physically cannot do much. That 9 months, or let's say a year, of being pregnant, nursing, everything, that 1 year should not be enough to...
Yeah, I know, but that's the basis of why
it's not the basis. It's just something that, like, it's one of the things.
It's the excuse.
It's one of the things, but it's not the basis of it. Because I'm telling you, like, a lot of women now, I guess maybe even because of, you know, how it can be, they will still put in, like, so much work even when they are not necessarily, like, supposed to. But it's not the only things. Like, there's a whole lot before we can even, like, look at pregnancy, and a lot of it has to do with
You know why I still think is that, though? If you go back in time to the days of the cavemen, they always believe that, oh, let the caveman go outside and hunt while the wife is at home protecting the kids. So I think it's just that nurturing factor in women that makes us look down on them. like honestly, that's genuinely what I think it is. If women were and like,
take advantage of,
yeah, you know, which animal is it that when they give birth, they just tell the, like, they just fuck off without the child?
Oh, I thought it was the ostrich.
Yeah, so ostrich, if imagine if women were more like that, like, just give birth, leave the child, and just go.
It just can't. It just can't be.
The dynamics would be different.
It just can't be. But, like, I mean, personally, maybe just because of, I feel like it's just the way that period has been perceived. Because pregnancy should not be perceived as a moment, as a period of, it should not be perceived as a period of, like, weakness. The reason why I say that is because, like, I mean, it's almost like you're going for battle. When you are going for battle, you are preparing. You are strapping yourself up. A woman that is preparing to give birth, that is preparing for, like, the most death-defying thing of your life. True. That shit is... People die in childbirth. You feel me? Yeah. So, because of the way people perceive it, I guess, as something of weakness.
Yeah.
You understand? As opposed to not, because it's really not. It's a thing of strength. But anyway...
Yes, it is.
Expectations of dating women going into your 30s. I personally feel like if you're about to date a woman women are different, and in this our generation now, there are some women who don't necessarily put marriage at the forefront and put, like, you know, career and everything. But first of all, it's by understanding the kind of person that you're dating and understanding what they want and what they require. Women are always speaking, I feel, with their words, with their body language, with all those things. I think that a lot of people just don't listen as much. If you listen, you'll be able to tell the kind of woman that you are dating. But if you're dating someone generally who is up above 20s and is thinking of, you know, settling down, first of all, you need to be serious, of course. Like, don't now get into something with somebody and you're not, like, actually willing to be serious. You need to be serious. If someone is perceiving marriage as, you know, a goal eventually, you know, they want someone who they can rely on. They want someone who they can trust in. They want someone who is ready to put in the work, who is ready to be there. So if you're going into it just for bands, of course it's not going to end well. You understand?
True.
So, like, you need to understand what it is that you want first. First of all, you communicate that to that person. And don't just listen to someone who says, oh, okay, you know, you've heard the person say, oh, I'm interested in a future. And you, maybe you're not as interested in the future. You, your own is maybe a year or... You're not even thinking too far into the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't go into the thing. The person might say that they're okay with it for now. But they really might not be.
Then the person should say they are not.
Hmm?
The person should say they are not.
I mean, yeah, the person ideally should say that they are not. But like, you know, let's not... Sometimes we might act like... a guy might act like later on, like, oh, she didn't say, or I made my stance clear. She also said has as well. You just chose to ignore it because maybe she wasn't paying attention to it. And then, you know, you took advantage of the fact that she's ready to just do whatever.
Yeah.
You understand? So don't do that. Don't just get involved with that person. There's no point. It won't end well.
This is actually a topic that I want to get.
But just be serious.
Yeah, we'll get a lot more, what's it called? We'll get more women to shed light on that. Speaking of guys, so next week, next episode, we're going to be doing an all girls episode. I don't know how interested that would be. I'm kidding. It's going to be very nice. There are a lot of things that I want us to just get, you know.
We're doing a two-parter.
Yeah, like, it's going to be a two-part.
One after that will be all guys.
So we'll talk about a particular thing from the female side, the women's side, and something else. The same thing from the men's side, just to see how society and social dynamics, you know, affects how we perceive and how we see different things.
It's going to be very interesting. Please, I need breakup stories, you guys.
Can you
guys like DM me or something?
If you've gone through a nasty breakup,
like, you know, just a little. If you're willing to just share, you don't have to say who you are. It can be anonymous.
Please, if you're my ex, don't DM her. Thanks.
You can be anonymous. I just want to ask like just a few questions. I just want to ask about the breakup. I want to ask about how long the relationship was. If you saw it coming,
you know,
if it was something, or did you initiate it? Why? And how do you feel afterwards? Do you regret it? Did you learn anything from it? Those kind of questions.
I'll send you a list of names so that if you see those people DMing, you just don't answer. that would, you know.
Well, please, you guys, I need it. Okay, please. Yeah. I tweeted it.
It's for research purposes.
I haven't
gotten
any replies, but please do your girl a solid now. I need it. Please, please, please.
It's for research purposes, guys.
Yes.
All right. So real quick, let me just say something that's been on my mind this week, right?
Thank you.
Life is very up and down, you know. Last week, a friend of mine, we haven't spoken in years though, but I still held him as a friend somewhere in my heart. He passed away, sadly. It was someone that I went to secondary school with. He was actually our chapel prefect in our year. He was a very nice guy. I remember having conversations with him back in the day. It was very funny. Very funny. But it was just last week, Dolly and I, after the episode, we were talking about just, you know, life and death and all that. And to see such news that same day, it was just a bit much for me. And it was also in the same week that someone else, a couple people, got married. So it just showed the two extremes of life. And I just want to take the opportunity to tell you guys that I know there are some people who have offended you or whatever, but just in the face of death, everything seems so minor. So try and just live life to the fullest. Try and just get on good terms with people. I'm not saying be friends with everybody, but the people who you can actually make peace with. A lot of times, pride and arrogance, it doesn't allow us to see where we actually did people wrong or where people did us wrong or whatever. It's very hard for us to go back and mend friendships, but that's just all I want to say on that one, that wherever we are in life, just try and live life to the fullest and try and be on good terms with people. Because again, in the face of death, everything just seems so useless, so small, so petty.
I would say just, first of all, I'm sorry about your friend, of course. Like, you know, that's sad and everything. What I would add to you that, you know, just try and live your life in a way that just be okay with the decisions you make. You know, I always try, like, even in terms of, like, all my relationships, everything that I do, I always try to approach it in the most respectful way. I always try to approach it in I don't always get it right, of course. I'm not perfect, but I really do try, and I try to learn from my mistakes. Now, you know, what Isaac said, I was reading Lupita's post about Chadwick, and she said some things that I had to screenshot. It was long. It was like maybe 6 slides.
Mm.
I screenshot like 2 of the slides because she said some things that really I have really, really been thinking about lately. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, wow. You know, just of things of the way he lived. I'm just going to read like some of what she said. So she said, he was impeccable with his word. I never heard him complain. And there were definitely some things worth complaining about. I think he understood the power of words and chose to manifest power through his word. He used his mouth to build, to edify, never to break. And he used it to tell some regrettably lame dad jokes. He practiced not going against himself. He seemed to really love himself. He expressed who he really was, even when it meant he didn't smile when you thought he should. He accepted himself. And perhaps that's why he was capable of loving so many so deeply.
Mm.
The next slide was, and he used his body in every way he could. He did his own stunts, drummed at his own parties, danced many a night away, mastered martial arts, the list goes on. He loved, honored, and respected that body, doing more with it than most. In so doing, he took the risk to be alive, fully alive. So it seems that it was life that gave up on Chadwick long before Chadwick gave up on life. And I found that so compelling because there's something about fully accepting who you are. And it's something that I have been trying to learn. Because once you really, really accept yourself, like accept yourself as you are, faults, no fault, every part of you, you are able to live life more fully and give more to other people. So anyway, I just thought that when you were talking about your friend just now, I just remember that those posts and how deeply that really like got to me.
Yeah, it's amazing how much of a reset you get in the face of death. Really.
Yeah.
It is. But yes, guys, please live your life to the fullest.
Go
back and mend friendships. So seriously, go back and do that. Go back and mend friendships wherever you can. I'm not saying that you should go back and be best friends, but just keep everything, you know. Go back and mend friendships. So yeah, that's it for this week, guys. Thank you guys so much for always listening. 71 weeks of podcasting. Whoop! I'm not sure I've done anything for 71 weeks, like, you know, with so much intensity. But thank you guys so much for always listening and all. This episode is actually dedicated to the Trinity set of 2011, which was, you know, my graduating set. We were the coolest set the school had ever seen at the time, and we're the most troublesome.
Everywhere were so cool.
Yeah, we were really amazing. We were an amazing bunch. I mean, most of you I don't talk to anymore, but and I don't even know how many of you listen to this. But to those of you who do, big, you know. This is dedicated to us, so big up you guys wherever you are. And you guys are scattered everywhere in the world now, so big up to you guys if you ever listen to this or whatever. My song recommendation this week is a song that actually popped up on YouTube, and it got me so teary-eyed. You remember Plies and T-Pain?
What song?
Shawty, yeah,
I don't think I know that song.
Oh my god, you don't know Shorty by T-Pain and Plies?
I don't think so. The only Plies song I remember
even
is...
Even though you're not my girl, I'm not your man, I'm gonna call you my Shorty.
Oh, okay. I think I know the song.
I can stand to see you treat the bad, I'll beat his ass for my Shorty.
Oh, okay, I know the song. Okay. The only Plies song that was coming to head is Bossy Baby.
Gosh, you've been a perv from day. That's when Neo, no? Yeah.
I love that song.
It was nice.
Plies is amazing. I love Plies though. I love Plies like real life. He's real funny.
Yeah, he ran off on the plug twice. Those videos were hilarious. Ran off on the plug twice. Anyways, what's your song recommendation?
My song recommendation is DKT by Oxlade.
All right. Yeah. You know one Oxlade song I like? Sugar. Give me sugar.
Oxlade like is cool.
Nah, he's cool. He's actually
Oxlade
very cool.
Is calm.
Road to 30 podcasts. Road to 30 podcast on all socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and all the above. You know, you can listen on Spotify, SoundCloud, and Apple Music, anywhere you find podcasts. Mm-hmm. And very soon on Amazon. Yes, woo! Amazon Audible. So yeah, we're going to be on there very soon. So you guys, yeah, and Google Podcasts. So thank you so much for always listening. See you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.